Messi, Iniesta, Messi.
And Jessica Rabbit on steroids. Take a look at this.
This is Ronaldo. And that is 1-0 to Brazil.
Oh, can you believe that? Is that the icing on the cake or what? What a goal! What an absolute missile! A wry smile on the face of Jurgen Klopp. But what a thunderbolt! Where did Chalhanoglu pull that one from?
Over the top. Oh, spectacular, Thiago! That one is one for history to look at. One of the goals of the season.
Picks out Rivaldo. Oh, he's seen the keeper off his line. Oh, extraordinary by Rivaldo.
Straight in, Thomas Muller with a beauty. Goalkeepers do not stop those.
Urgency up. James Rodriguez. Has to be a beautiful, absolutely brilliant.
Now from Malouda, he's got Henry making a move ahead of him. Zidane stepping through the challenges, feeding Patrick Vieira, ravaging run from midfield. Tackled by Chuan, brought down by Chuan.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight we have Joe physically in the studio, which is probably the best thing sound-wise for you guys. I think it'll sound a little bit better with him being on the mic than being on the phone. So we have him in the studio for the whole show, which is exciting. As usual, you can reach us on our website, footballweekly.com. That's F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. You can also get at me on Twitter, the @ @Reginaldinho_5. Joe's Twitter handle is JoeCola4, all one word, and that's the number 4 at the end. You can also subscribe to our podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn. And you can also get to us via numerous podcatchers. The list of podcatchers that we use are listed on our website. Down the right-hand side, you'll be able to see how and which ones you can subscribe to. You can also subscribe to the podcast via email. Sorry. And be alerted every time a new episode is uploaded via email. There's also a built-in player on our website. So if you don't want to subscribe and you don't want to download, you can just play the episode directly from the website. This show is actually jam-packed. We're going to be speaking about the news, football news, things that are going on in the world of football. We also are going to be doing our top five. And we're also going to recap this past weekend's El Clasico between Real Madrid and Barcelona. And we have some opinions on what we saw, so we'll dive into that in the second half of the show. So as usual, sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast, and we'll be back after this. We're going to start this week's show off with the news. There's a couple of news items that I'd like to discuss, as well as Joe. A couple of episodes ago, we spoke about the fall of the Premier League and what we thought were the reasons for it. This past week, David Moyes, former Everton manager, former Manchester United manager, and now Real Sociedad manager in La Liga, came out and made a comment about the English Premier League. And we have that comment right now.
I think this year you'd have to say it's probably the poorest Premier League I've seen in a long, long time. A lot of it comes from the media, Gary. You know, every year where, you know, the drum's getting banged and on deadline day, this is record spend in the Premier League. We've spent more money than ever before. And, well, actually, you know, maybe it's actually not the right way to go. Of course, the top clubs in Spain, big money, no more so than the likes of Real Madrid. They can spend whatever they want to bring in players. But, you know, the other teams necessarily can't. You know, you, over the years, Atletico Madrid have had financial difficulties but still have reached finals and still won La Liga. And, you know, there's other clubs out here who are doing it, like clubs like Seville and Valencia, Villarreal, have tended to get quite a distance in the Europa League, if you want to talk about that. And they've got further on than, say, even the British teams have. So I've got to say that maybe we do go over the top. And I think recently we have talked up the Premier League maybe a bit more than what it's actually been. I think there's other leagues which are certainly now comparable.
So, Joe, we spoke about these exact things the last time we spoke. Spoke about this topic. So. Does he have it right? Or
I think, here's the thing, when we hear David Moyes talk about it, maybe the personal thing. Yeah, I think he's got it right. I think he's got most of it right. I think it would probably hold more water for me if it wasn't David Moyes saying it. A year, right? Like a year removed from did it Manchester United. Okay, what he was handed, all that stuff. So within his futility there, but still, he's got it right. I mean, we do overhype that. Is it rightfully so? Sure. I mean, it's double-edged. It's right. I think he's got it right with what he's saying. You know, the overspending doesn't always lead to the great success. But at the same time, I think because the spending is there, it tells you that the league is still at the pinnacle of soccer and football. Because if you look at it over a 10-year span, they're still pretty successful and all that stuff. But if we're dealing with it today, he does have it right. Those teams are not doing what they should be based on the money they're spending. I like that he notes the Europa League success of those teams in Spain, right? Those mid-level teams, if you will.
Right.
Right. I think that's pretty much where he's got it bang on.
I know the Premier League's the big money league in the world, and we quoted $5 billion they spent on a TV deal, which the teams divvy up part of that. And that's why it's so lucrative not to get relegated in the EPL. And that's why there's a fight and a scrap for every point, especially if you're a bottom club, there's a fight and a scrap for every point you can get.
And we have managers that are relegation specialists, if you will.
Right, they bring in managers that are like, when your team's 8 points adrift and you bring in this guy, he'll get you to stay up and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So I think we saw that with Crystal Palace bringing in Alan Pardew. Trying to get them out of the relegation zone. He's done a great job of it. So, but I think David Moyes, I'm more inclined to believe he has it right on, whether it's David Moyes or Sir Alex or Arsene Wenger or whoever.
And the point is the point.
Right, the point is the point. And he has managed in this league, and he's seen Manchester United and Manchester City, Arsenal, Chelsea spend the money that they spend and have the big reputations that they have. And to come out, it seemed like all the teams came out at the same time. When you get down to the crunch time, all the teams are just falling out.
Yeah, and it's the old adage. I think by bringing the New York Yankee thing here,
right?
Because they spend every year, are they going to always win? We get it. They're not. There's the Oakland A's, right?
Right.
The movie was made for it. Yeah, great. Billy Bean, who, by the way, has been hired to do some work for a football team, which we'll probably talk about another day.
Oh, really?
But, yeah. I do agree with him, but you know, these teams are built to win at the highest level, and it's a monster that we've created that we're all looking to see either succeed or fail either way. You know, and I just think, yeah, he's got it. I hope he's not talking about the quality, you know, of the league. He said the Premiership's down this way. If they're down, I think we can all agree that they're down based on their performances in Europe, for sure.
Right.
But I think it all comes back to the rigors of that league, you know, and you talked about the money thing, you know, and TV deals and so on. It's what has been created. And I think in that sense, those teams, the mid-range teams in all the leagues in Europe, and that's why football is so, that's why it's the best sport in the world, right? That's why you guys are listening. That's why we're talking about it.
Right.
Right? Because it's not like we know which is the top league in all the sports, in all the other sports. We know the NBA is the show, you know, to watch. We know the NFL's it in football. We know the NHL and so on, Major League Baseball. But here, this is what makes this the beautiful game beautiful, is that 1 year this league will be the top, the next year will be that. But it's like you said, Reg, I mean, the money that is there, of course there's going to be a letdown. What's satisfactory here for those Premier League teams? They should be in the quarterfinal. They should be.
Right.
And for them not to be, of course he's got it right.
But everybody equates money with quality. Right? You pay the most amount of money for a car, you expect the car to cook for you.
Yeah.
You have your most expensive house, you expect people oh and ah about it. If you have the most expensive players and players that make the most money, and you're talking about $5 billion just for TV rights and the merchandising and just the name of the EPL, you're expecting teams, like you're expecting the best teams in that league to be able to get by the quarterfinals. Arsenal's come out in the quarterfinals how many years in a row now?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, never mind Arsenal, but the league winner. I mean, Manchester City.
Yeah,
seems
exactly.
They seem like a minnow in Champions League.
Exactly.
I shouldn't say minnow. I should say a mid-range team. Like, they don't seem like, you know, like when that draw comes out, Man City Arsenal. I'm sorry, excuse me, Man City Barcelona. No one is looking at it like, oh, this might be a cracker. This might be the one that they're saying, can Man City keep this close? Can they? And that's what I think Moyes is alluding to here.
Right.
Based on that, you know, money and the performances. You said the key word is quality. The
right.
quality and the performances are absolutely not meeting the bar. They're absolutely not even close to it.
And
they're
I think Moyes put it best when he said the hype. It's the hype about yeah, it's
absolutely.
The hype, right?
Machine,
like
yeah.
you shouldn't see a Manchester City Barcelona game and think that whatever Barcelona's going to kill these guys. You should think this is going to be a cracker. I can't wait. PSG Chelsea. I can't wait.
Yeah.
This is going to be a great. And it wasn't.
And the
it wasn't close.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to go back to it. Those key words. I'm not the smartest guy. But quality, go back to the PSG-Chelsea one, the quality that is there to have that performance. I think that's what we have to focus on. I think Moyes is talking about, right, when he's saying it's down, he's also talking about the performance. And the performance of the teams is not there. It's just, it's not what it should be. Again, we'll go back to it. Someone like Cuadrado, who was at the pinnacle of being one of the most exciting players after the World Cup, having fantastic things, you know, happened with Fiorentina last year. Where is he now? It's almost worked the other way. We've talked about this a bit on the show where Mo Salah is just absolutely on fire.
Right.
Granted, I understand. Right. We know we've talked about the dip of the Serie A. But, you know, we have Eden Hazard tweeting about, you know, Super Mo, Super Salah and how great he's doing. So, you know, again, Moyes in that sense has it right. But the pressure to win, the pressure to, and when we say win, I think we said it, you know, the pressure to stay up and the pressure to continue with the TV deal. Maybe David Moyes, maybe it was all in the mad plan, sink a ship in Manchester United and go to Real Sociedad. Obviously not, but,
yeah.
You know, I think maybe he's, you could be calling it the great escape, but I don't know.
Right. So what do you think about a proposed winter break in the EPL?
So let's deal with it in terms of the quality for football. Absolutely needed. The realization or the reality of it for money, not a chance in hell.
And that's what it all comes down to
right.
anyway, right?
So, you know, Luis Enrique saying, yeah, sure, we love watching your games, referring to the EPL. We love watching them on the winter break.
Right.
They are resting, implying, you know, yeah, they're resting.
Feet up watching you guys
yeah,
bust your ass.
Right. And so I just think, and again, like with all this in modern football and the modern athlete in general, you know, being, look, by no means, you know, we understand that playing soccer every day and playing football is a treat, yeah, but it's still a job in the sense that they need to be taking care of their bodies, all that stuff and that stuff. So for them to be performing at an efficient level, absolutely. If you look at it just in the science of it, and many of these new age coaches, I don't want to say new age, but coaches at clubs and federations are hiring, are there just to make sure they're not overworked and they're doing periodization and they're doing regeneration training and all that stuff. Just based on that, the EPL is outdated that way because they're overworking and over, you know, training and playing these players.
Well, I agree. I agree. A winter break would be fantastic. I, like you said, for me, around the Christmas time, that's what we look forward to, right?
Oh, love it.
Boxing Day, New Year's Day games. That's what
yeah,
you look forward
absolutely.
To. The three games and 7 days, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
But for and I even take it back to, you look at the teams that have won the even the World Cup in the last, I don't know, I don't even know how far you want to go back. All those countries have winter break.
Yeah, true.
And you can say that the best players on that team aren't always playing in the EPL. If you look at Spain, how many players off the Spanish national team are playing in the EPL when
right.
they won the World Cup?
Right, Reg, and you go back to, you know, 2006, and okay, it was Italy, but you know,
right.
most of their players at that time were still playing in Italy.
Exactly.
Maybe one or two playing elsewhere. So there is correlation, but you know, I call it the NFLization of the EPL, right?
Yeah.
The NFL's got games on Thursday. You ask those players if they want to play a Thursday night game.
Oh, yeah, right.
They don't.
They always say no.
You know?
It's the worst.
Exactly, right? But they know, like they, meaning the executives and everybody involved in administration and so on, they know that, hey, that's a Thursday night game. It's the only game on. It's money,
it's
right?
Money
sponsorship.
Maker.
We all know, right? We're all savvy enough. Now the average fan is savvy enough to understand primetime games versus, you know, non-primetime games. So this is part of the same thing. So, I mean, be free to use that, anybody. NFLization of the
New words here on the Football Weekly. NFLization. We'll use it again in the show, I'm
probably
sure.
Probably get sued now.
I'm sure. We can talk about this for forever. It's always going to be a point of contention when it comes down to what the problems are with the EPL. They need a winter break. Maybe it's not the best.
Fired up talking about David Moyes, right?
Well, David Moyes. Anyways, moving on to another part of the news. Paul Pogba, star Juventus midfielder, is going to be out for, what, 2 months?
That's what they're saying. It's growing every day, right?
Yeah.
Like and that's not a good, I mean, state the obvious.
Well, it's okay for their league because they have that done and dusted, right?
They're coasting, yeah, they're.
But, and you know, it's kind of a good draw that they got Monaco, too, in the Champions League,
coming
right?
from an Arsenal fan, Reggie.
I know, but seriously.
Yeah, it could on paper, all that stuff could have been far worse.
But,
yeah,
I mean, but now I think Juventus has won a lesson from Arsenal's deficiencies. Don't take anybody too lightly.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to prepare with the utmost attention to detail, right?
If we didn't have word of today, and I think it's breaking news almost in the last hour or two, Claudio Marchisio is out of the Juventus lineup as he's not going to be playing in the qualifier of Italy-Bulgaria, and they're saying it could be a serious injury too.
Oh, in training or something?
Yeah, so this is what we talk about all the time. Like, what does it take to win these Champions Leagues? What does it take? A bit of luck that you need. So in terms of them losing Pogba, in terms of, you know, they're fine in the league for sure. Can you replace now two of them? But the Pogba thing is huge. It's still a big deal.
Well, actually, I was reading something, and the Juventus president, who's the president of Juve? Do you know? I think he came out and he said, we don't need Pogba. Pogba didn't play, and we won it. I think their last league game, he didn't play, obviously. And they won the game, and our team's not built on one person. We don't really need Pogba. And now Chelsea, Arsenal, Real Madrid are like, what, you don't need him? Well, here's 50 million.
You know what I mean? Him. We'll take him.
Exactly.
What do you think, Reg? Is that just like him just trying to...
I know. I know what he's trying to do, but it's like, well, how does Paul Pogba feel when he hears that, right?
And I think it's
and he's a type of guy that's going to be like, oh, you disrespected me. I don't want to play here anymore. Just like what he did to Sir Alex when he left Manchester United.
Yeah.
He wasn't getting the first team opportunities, and he said, see you later.
Yeah. And I think maybe he's saying that because they know they're going to lose him anyway. And
no, that's true. That's
but
true
I think
too.
I think you're right. Like, why would he be like? You know, he's trying to make the most money here too. That's a strange comment by him. But
I had it written down what his name was. But
I think it's Agnelli.
He's out for 2 months with a hamstring injury, and it's just for me. I just think they're lucky. They're Juve kind of lucky. They got Monaco, and the league's already won pretty much. So shouldn't hurt them too much.
They
going
got one guy. Pretty much informed now, more informed than anybody in Europe. And Tevez, he is, wow, on a roll. Hopefully,
yeah.
I mean, if you're a Juventus fan, you want to hope that he can obviously keep it going because he is on quite a tear.
Yeah. UEFA, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Chelsea, Oscar, suspension upheld. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about. Zlatan Ibrahimovic in the Chelsea PSG Champions League game, final leg at Stamford Bridge, went into a tackle with Oscar. Oscar, in typical Brazilian fashion, looked like he just got his leg cut off by a chainsaw and was writhing around on the ground, and the Chelsea fans surrounded the referee. Referee gave Zlatan a red card and misses the first leg of the next Champions League game.
Yeah.
If you watch the replay, it's an absolutely ridiculous call. It wasn't, and some people even say it was a foul on Oscar. It shouldn't even have been a foul on Ibrahimovic. But he got a red card, got tossed, and UEFA looked at the video and upheld the one-game suspension for Zlatan Ibrahimovic, which is ridiculous in my opinion.
Yeah, like, couldn't we get this right? Like, couldn't we get a chance to get
ridiculous.
This semi right and say, hey, hold on. But, you know, in typical... football establishment, you know, like, you know, I mean, it's like, conspiracy theorists in us all. If you're a football fan, you have to have some of it, I guess. But right. Could this be, you know, is this after coincidence? It's after, you know, Ibra says some beautiful words about what he thinks of France after he's, and, you know, F this country.
And Platini, you know, didn't like that, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
You know, I mean, I hate to, like, it's just, they give us so much material in the world of football, don't they? I mean, they just really give us, here, like you said it, isn't this a chance for them to get it right? Like, hey guys, we messed up. You know what? It's upheld in the game, but let's get it right. Now you have one of your best players, most entertaining, most marketable, all that stuff, not going to be in the game.
And it's just, it's ridiculous. Oh, if it was a borderline call, could have been a red, might not have been a red, I can understand. But it's not even a foul.
It's ridiculous.
You bring up maybe UEFA doesn't like what he said about France, but that has nothing to do with the game.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what I mean? And that's nonsense to me. But
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, let's get it right. I mean, is that what we're saying? Like, let's get the right call. You now can be able to go back and look at this over and over and over. Let's just get it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just get it right. Like, make it right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just got UEFA.
So I actually feel bad for PSG. I feel bad for Zlatan. Even Mourinho came out and said, well, I hope they reverse the red card because he should be allowed to play. And he,
absolutely.
It upheld. So
I guess if you're in a battle with FIFA, the English FA, UEFA, maybe the guy you don't want coming out endorsing you is Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, probably.
I'm just going to ride this conspiracy theory thing because I guess it's in my blood. But anyhow, and all kidding aside, can we just get this right, UEFA? Obviously, they didn't, but anyway.
Well, they should, but should have been able to after watching video. But
absolutely.
There's something else underneath that, but I won't get into that. And the last bit of news that we have is actually a couple of quotes from Arsene Wenger. And to go back to about the downfall of the EPL, and I swear this is going to be the last time we're going to talk about this. Arsene Wenger was asked about a couple of things, actually, and the second part we'll hit a little later. The first question, you can't really hear the questions properly, so I'll read the question that was asked of Wenger, and then I'll play the answer for you. But the question that the reporter asked was, the top three clubs in the EPL failed to make the last eight of the Champions League. And he wanted to know if there should be an inquest, which is funny to me anyway. But here's what Arsene Wenger had to say.
I think it's the first time in 19 years. So I don't think that you can draw general conclusions from that. It's two teams have gone away out on away goals that I think should be questioned. Because it's a rule that is outdated now and that has to be changed, and I fight for that for a long time. And as well, in a direct knockout, it's important that you're very efficient, a bit lucky sometimes as well, and none of the teams, apart from Barcelona, looks to be superior, even in Europe today. I think both two other teams could have gone through, and Chelsea and Arsenal.
Listen, I love the away rule, away goal rule. It forces teams to play. If you're coming into somebody else's gym, pitch, whatever, it forces you to play. You can't sit back and absorb pressure.
You know what?
It love away goal rule.
It what makes, I know Reggie and I usually do agree on stuff, and we do again, because this is what makes football different. It's what makes this game stand out, you know? And there's a lot of things that need to be changed. And we talk about the modernization of it, of football and the game. No problem. We get it. But this thing, I think they got it right.
Exactly.
You know, they got it right. This is part of the game. It's part of what we call a cup tie.
Like he said, 1960, this rule's been in existence. And you get knocked out on away goals, and now this rule's outdated. And we got to get rid of it. And
that's the point, Reg. It's the timing of it.
Right.
And to be fair, Arsene Wenger, yes, he has brought this up in the past. But to me, this is what makes the Champions League, what makes Europa League, the old UEFA Cup. This is what makes it so interesting. You know you have to go into that thing you said, into that, you know,
You got to go to the Nou Camp and score.
It's what makes playing, you know, Galatasaray, so difficult.
Exactly.
And so hard in these areas.
Right.
And having to travel here. Juventus got knocked out, you know, with Shakhtar and so on.
Right.
And having to go in this tough environment. That's part of it. That's the allure of it, too. And unfortunately, that's what makes these Champions League and European football stand out, right? I mean, it's just like in basketball. I use basketball as an example. In playoffs where, you know, it's become a little different these days, but when you had to go in to the Garden, right?
Mm-hmm. There's only one Garden, by the way.
Yeah, we know which one that is. Right? And you had to go into a place. You had to go and play the Spurs at home. You got to go and play these teams. Regardless, it's different than just playing them at home. And that, if we take away this, I think the essence of this, of the competition, changes immensely.
Right.
Immensely.
Right. I have a very good friend of mine. Only loves basketball, doesn't really understand the rules in football, doesn't really understand the rules in soccer, okay? So we were sitting down, we were watching a Champions League game, and somebody scored, and I was like, oh shit, it's going to make it much harder now, and he was like, why? And I was explaining to him the away rules, the away goal rule to him, and he was just like, holy, that means this game's going to get really intense. He goes, you're damn right it's going to get intense. These guys have to score two goals now. Just
absolutely.
To tie.
Absolutely.
And then you just glued to the screen. And it's, even watching the Schalke Real game,
absolutely.
It was just like, you know, it was that exciting. You need one more goal to knock these guys out. And you just find yourself cheering for it. And you're glued to the TV watching it just because of the away goals rule, right?
It's part of our point of difference, right? It's what makes it different.
Right.
You know, and you know some of the things we talked about need to be changed. But this absolutely does not be changed. Again, the timing of Mr. Wenger's comments couldn't be worse.
Right.
It really could not be worse. I mean,
it just seems convenient. Right?
You know, like he has a tough time gaining a lot of fans regardless. Fortunately, when you say, you know, you don't want it to sound like sour grapes, guess what?
You know, it does.
It usually does.
Well, you know, there's a quick resolution to Arsene Wenger's problem.
You need to tell us how to you really feel, Reggie.
Don't let in three goals against Monaco at home and you'll be fine.
Are there any questions, any Arsenal fans?
there's your answer about the away goals rule. Don't lose to frickin' Monaco at home by three. And don't let them score three goals. And
Reg,
you'll be
clowning around
fine.
This thing. Can you just get to the? What are you trying to say?
No, that's it. I'm done. I'm done talking about this till next year.
And I already did the therapy last week, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, I got to come every week, man.
Yeah.
Can't just be one and done. Got to
right.
do this every
we want
week.
Full holistic
yeah,
approach.
For sure.
You healed.
For sure. Well, that's the Football Weekly news for this week. Next, we're going to get into our top five. This week's top five is going to revolve around players that were born in one country but represent another country at international level. When I was going through this list, I came across a lot of players that could play for different countries. It was almost mind-boggling, but we narrowed it down to our top fives, and we're going to let Joe start with his top five, and then we'll get into mine. If any of those overlap, we'll go bonus round, I guess.
Well, yeah. Again, this was a tough list.
For sure, it was.
There's so many players.
There's
right?
tons, you know,
especially in the global game, right? That we have. I'm going to give you a couple of bonus ones, and some of you guys probably some of these guys will probably be on your, or one of them for sure. Lukas Podolski.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Born in Poland. And played for Germany, and again, had a lot of success. Probably had more for Germany earlier than they did at even a club level. Lately,
but
obviously.
Lately, right. Still playing better for Germany than his club teams.
Absolutely, right. So there's obviously Podolski. For me, the other bonus one is only because of the North American connection, not because of the Italian connection, but Giuseppe Rossi.
Right.
I think, you know, being born and bred and playing in New Jersey, and then heading to Manchester United, and of course, his time in Parma and on Fiorentina and so on. And again, playing at the international level in a major tournament for Italy, I think that's a pretty big deal for a North American-born player.
Yeah, for sure. Right? Played at Villarreal as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Great success there.
So an American-born representing Italy, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So then my five. So
okay.
I guess I got one clear-cut number one just because of the legendary status, but any of these guys are very legendary.
Do it.
And a couple close to you. I guess at number five is going to be Miroslav Klose.
Right.
That's number five.
Right.
All-time leading scorer in the World Cup.
Right.
You know, Polish fans probably shaking their heads. You know, unfortunately, couldn't play for them. Obviously, played for Germany and still doing his thing today.
Right? He's still at Lazio, right?
Lazio doing well and, of course, winning a World Cup. Then I have Patrick Vieira.
Yes, sir.
Right? I mean, are you kidding me? The absolute class and quality that he had and the leadership was just phenomenal. And, you know, to me, you know, in Senegal, right? Reggie, yep. I think it's Senegalese.
Born in Senegal.
Right. And I guess the next guy for me, the precursor to Patrick Vieira, going back to even before at Marseille, or sorry, was it Marseille, I think? And then obviously AC Milan.
Right.
Marcel Desailly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and Reggie, born in?
Ghana.
Right? So to me, Desailly was the absolute epitome of the new age footballer that we saw after him. Not only big and strong, but technical, played center back, played defensive midfield for AC Milan, and was fantastic. Never mind what he did at other clubs. And, of course, World Cup winner with Vieira.
Right.
And just fantastic player.
Right.
Speaking of fantastic players, we said about this country, I mean, this could have an all Suriname team. I mean, for me, the one, the only, Clarence Seedorf. You know, I mean, I'm playing for it. Ajax at 16, 17, if I'm correct, with him and Edgar Davids.
But to be fair, that's Suriname, Dutch colony, right?
Yeah, it's true.
It's true, but still, it's not the Netherlands.
No,
that's proper. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So, but I think the quality with him is still omnipresent. And again, it's for me, it's, I mean, I grew up watching a lot of these guys, right? Especially in their time at AC Milan. But I mean, they've had success other ways too. I mean, you know, Seedorf winning three different teams,
right.
Champions League and so on and so on.
Right.
And then, of course, for me, my all-time, I guess, you know, we've celebrated his life not too long ago, his passing, Eusebio.
Right.
You know, in the 1966 World Cup with Portugal and, of course, a native of Mozambique.
Right, exactly.
So I kind of went more of the way of celebration of African-born players.
Right.
And so on, but I'm pretty sure I missed a ton. It was hard to compile a list.
Yeah, to pick just five is tough. We could have made it a top 20, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I had Vieira, born in Senegal, playing for France. I also had Desailly, born in Ghana, playing for France. And Eusebio I had as well on my list, Mozambique, playing for Portugal. And I also had Seedorf, actually. So I made another list. So I had a couple of guys that we didn't talk about. And this player, there's a role named after him on the field. Uh-huh. The Makalele role.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely.
Born in Zaire, in Africa.
Oh, for sure.
Playing for France.
Funny, those three type of players. I mean, Makalele, Vieira, Desailly, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a nice combination right there. if they were to play at the same time, but
he's definitely a trailblazer.
Oh, for sure. Makalele role, right?
It made you realize you needed different types of player. You needed quote unquote hard men,
right?
You know, with some quality and I mean, a lot of people still say the downfall of that era of Real Madrid was when Makalele left.
Right. Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. Now, just to put it into perspective, people out there, everyone's going to be people are going to be looking, hey, how come you don't have Zidane on the list? And it's like, well, Zidane was
some stuff up.
Zidane was born in France. His parents are Algerian.
Yeah.
So technically he can play for Algeria, but he was born in France.
That's right. Just like Djorkaeff too.
Exactly.
I know they're not on the same level, but you know, oh, but he's Armenian. Well, he was born in France.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what Everyone can play for another country if that's the case. Well, not everyone, but you know what I mean.
No, the players that, you know, have that lineage and have the choice.
Exactly.
That way.
Exactly. You have to be born in a different country. Because I'm gonna get emails. You left off Zidane. You left off this guy. You left off that guy. Well, these guys were born in the countries they're representing. So
that's right. Yeah.
Another one a little bit closer to home that I have on my list is Jonathan de Guzman.
Yeah, he was on mine too. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Born in Scarborough, Canada, Ontario, Canada, yeah. Playing for Holland, right? Well, is he playing? Is he playing?
I don't know. I think he is now. I mean, hey, even if he's not right now, was in the World Cup with them.
Sure was.
You know, and still doing his thing in
Sure
Napoli.
Sure was. So that's a little bit closer to home. Balotelli's, no, he was born in Italy, so I don't want to hear about that one. He could play for Ghana because his parents were Ghanaian. But we're not. Play. That's not the list we're compiling.
We could do that, too. We'll probably be here for about 3 hours.
Be here till next show talking about that. Another one that Edgar Davids from Suriname playing for the Dutch as well.
Wow, great player.
And I mean, that's nicknamed the Pitbull, right?
Yeah.
What can you say about a guy that works that hard? And it was still technical as well.
For the manner in which he played.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right?
Yeah, for sure. Just,
that's what we've said, is that these guys aren't just, oh yeah, they were decent players. Most of these guys are stars.
Right.
They were stars or stars of their time and legendary status as well.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And it's just sad to see that some of these players that could play for, like Vieira could play for Senegal and Seedorf and Davids and Aaron Vinter and Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink, they all could play for Suriname, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just sad to see that they don't. But when you're making that decision, when Vieira made a decision to play for France, I don't think Senegal was an African, not even an African power.
No, I mean, yeah.
So that's an easy decision not to play for Senegal and to play for France, right?
I wonder, was he on the field when Senegal beat France in 2002?
You know what? That's a good question.
Well, that's an interesting one. Foreign of them, right?
That's a good question. He might have been on it. Maybe he wasn't on the
field. But he was in the mix, I'm sure.
I'm sure he was on the team, but I don't think he was playing. But
yeah.
That would have sucked, eh?
Can I go back?
That would have sucked.
Let's point out, too, like for most of our listeners and so on, like, obviously, us, we're based in Canada and so on. Hockey players, there's a lot of players that have played internationally. Once they even played in a major competition, they can go and play for another country. That's
right.
Not the case in soccer.
Yeah, once you pick, that's it.
Right, and if you play, you can play for the different youth representation. You can also play in a friendly.
Right.
Right, like Diego Costa, for example. But once you play in an international major competition.
Done.
You're done.
That's right?
So, again... Yes.
And if you go, even if you go down the list of countries, Africa Cup of Nations was at Equatorial Guinea.
Yeah.
You go down the list of the players that are on that team, Spanish, Brazilian, from Cameroon, from Colombia, from all over the place.
That's right.
You know, and it's the most exports, I think, come from Brazil. Because you have Brazilians that go to Croatia, like Eduardo.
There you go.
And then, you know, I'm not going to make the Brazil national team, but I can make Croatia. You know what? Play for Croatia.
Yep.
Maybe get in a Euro, maybe get in a World Cup and play. Because I'm never going to make the Brazil national team. So, and that's what you see. You see, if you go down the list of teams, like, yeah, I was surprised to see teams like I said, Equatorial Guinea. So many Brazilians and Colombians and Spanish players on this team. And it's like, wow.
Yeah. And so when we hear World Cup of other sports.
Right, exactly.
Let's please just take a step back.
New York Yankees, best
world
baseball team
series,
in the world.
We need to really take a deep breath.
Slow down, people.
Yeah,
when you say world anything, it better be world.
Yeah. You have trouble talking to me about, and I'm a hockey fan too, but you know, when six teams can win something, I think we need to just maybe...
Yeah.
Reassess
really?
What we're talking about here.
Really?
We'll get on our soapbox here, but it's okay. I think back to the Eusebio thing, right, just before we go on the next thing. I would imagine this, and we'd love to talk to somebody about this one day too on our show, is this was 1966.
Right.
This was an African player, you know, playing, you know, in Europe in a World Cup in England, who's, you know, playing for a team, right? And then again, yes, has some... a long-standing history of, yes, there are people of color, you know, from that country and so on, but from other places. But this is from Mozambique. You know, that was probably not an easy thing for him as well. I mean, obviously Pelé and those before, but that's just to me, you know, something about transcending the sport. And for him to be the star of the 66 World Cup, it's pretty important too.
And right.
Pretty powerful.
And Black
people
Pearl.
In Toronto, we know that Eusebio even played in Toronto.
Right.
Right, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I couldn't imagine... what he went through.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that's why I think these guys, it's funny, even a lot of the guys we mentioned, they're champions for more than just their football.
Right.
For, you know.
George Weah and Drogba and those type of guys.
Some good guys. And even Seedorf and Vieira and Desailly, very vocal about, you know, their responsibility as you know, black players in the game and African players and so on and people that have had to do a lot. So pretty interesting too.
Yeah, yeah. So that's our top five. We'll have another one next week. Don't know what it's going to be, but
it's always going to be good.
It's always going to be good, and we'll always get a bonus and some gold from Joe. So
gold always.
Next, in this next segment, we're going to speak about El Clasico that just happened last weekend and our thoughts on things that went on in that game.
Are we getting right into this, Reg?
No, we'll take a little bit of a break here. Stay tuned.
Messi, Neymar, Ronaldo, Bale. They are the superstars of La Liga, masters of the game. And now they come together for the most watched sporting event in the world. El Clasico, El Clasico, El Clasico, El Clasico, El Clasico, El Clasico.
So with that intro, you probably know what we're going to speak about next, and that's El Clasico.
Oh, where's Messi? Have you seen him? Oh, where's Messi?
Where's Messi? Donde está Messi?
And that clip pretty much sums up Messi's first half. For me, anyway. Again, in an El Clasico, your boy, Lionel Messi,
harsh.
Disappears. Harsh. I know it's harsh. I know it's harsh. But you want to see the best players playing at their best in the best games.
When you talk about the lead up to this, yeah, absolutely. It was, and Messi was part of that. He was part of the non-existent.
Where's Messi? Donde está Messi?
You know, run of form or what we expect from him, and especially in this. And he was part of it. And, you know, the biggest players. Look, no one's going to say, you know, where was Jordi Alba? You know, and he's a great player in his own sense. Good right. player. You know, but, yeah, he wasn't there. And I think this game was just an awful game.
Yeah, I hate that.
It's almost like you feel like you're committing a crime saying that.
Everyone's counting down to El Clasico. Oh. I mean, I remember guys were saying, oh, El Clasico is in 3 weeks. And this was like, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
You know.
All right.
And that's, listen, I get it. You know, sometimes the lead up to big games in all sports doesn't always pan out. But this was not what I expected. Whistles, stoppages.
Foul after foul.
Foul after foul. You know, Johan Cruyff said it best. You know, they asked him about it. And former, obviously, Barcelona great player and coach. Fantastic. Happy with the result. Not even close to being happy with the football on both sides.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is supposed to be the, arguably the two best teams in the world. They're top five. You know, I think if you say top five, no one's going to argue with you.
Right.
Right. You'll get the argument with the top two, of course, for sure. But, you know, I mean, the two best players.
Where's Messi? Donde está Messi?
Well, it just didn't look like what we expected. You know, it just was so, let us down on so many levels. I think the only level where it didn't let me down, obviously, I'm a little biased. I do prefer Barcelona to Real Madrid. But I guess the viewership, I don't know the exact numbers, but I think they said the Super Bowl was 115 million people. And I think El Clasico was close to 350 million, something like that.
Well, everyone around the world's watching this.
Yeah. You know,
soccer is the most popular sports in the world.
And all the more reason why this was disappointing.
Right.
You know, and like, what is happening with Gareth Bale? Like, what is this?
Listen to me. And it's not just because he was a former Tottenham player or anything like that.
North London Derby. Yeah.
I don't think he can play at the level needed, big game wise. I mean, you put him in the game against Real Betis, okay, he looks good. Barcelona, like you said, 350 million people around the world watching, and he shrinks to me.
I think he's a prototypical, like, he's a good player, he's a great player.
Great?
Yeah, I think that's where I have to draw. He's a good player. I think his exploits are better served in the EPL because of style of game.
Well, run, right?
You know? Yeah, and I think when spaces become tighter, right, this is where we see the struggles of Gareth Bale. I mean,
He's not technical enough.
Exactly. And that's why I think, you know, where Ronaldo is, people are saying, oh, he's the new Ronaldo. Wow.
Who the hell said that?
You know, there was pundits and people saying, I guess, not the new Ronaldo, but close to him. And I said, well,
Gascoigne.
You know, Ronaldo's, you said it, Reg, the technical ability. He's not technical enough to be considered, you know, on their level. And I think, you know, one of the themes of our show has been building things up to be more than what they are. Whether it be the EPL, whether it be this El Clasico that wasn't so classic. You know, and I think that's part of it.
Yeah, the game was garbage.
I mean, really. You know, I mean, there was people in our part of the world just buying BN Sports just for the game.
That's and, $20.
I apologize to you if you did that, because you should be seeking a refund, because that was just
garbage.
It was bad. It was a bad game. I mean, there's no other way to put it. You know, people will try to sugarcoat it because, you know, they don't want to admit that a game between Real Madrid and Barcelona was awful. Listen, there were more fouls in that game called, and there was more stoppages. We always come back to it with me and how much I despise the level sometimes. Not level, but the style in the Serie A. This looks very, very similar. It was just ugly.
Yeah, it was. And even the play of one like Neymar, I don't think he was at his best. He played. Brazil played France last night, I believe, as well.
He was pretty good then.
He was okay. I mean, yeah, if you're looking,
I said flash. Yeah,
if you're looking for this guy to be your new, you know, face of the Brazilian national team, or you're looking for him to be the face of Barcelona, he's got to step it up a little bit more. No,
I would say individual performances against cohesive play. I think individual spurts, even in that game, he was nowhere to be found that way. Obviously, Luis Suarez in the second goal was a fantastic, wow.
He does what he does, right?
Bit of play, yeah. I mean, and that's why I think, back to the Suarez versus Bale thing, they shouldn't even be in the same category there.
Well, they shouldn't even be on the same field, never mind category.
Right. Yeah, so.
I'm not a big, it's not because he played for Tottenham. I'm an Arsenal fan. He's garbage. To me, he's garbage.
Listen, Real Madrid can buy whoever they want.
They can.
And they did. He was the hottest commodity at that time.
He was.
And Real Madrid said, we are not going to lose out. And because we're Real Madrid, we're going to buy him. I mean, this is the team, the Galacticos, right? I mean, this is what they can do. This is their MO. It's not a knock on Real Madrid. That is just their manner in which they conduct business.
But if you watch Gareth Bale play in the EPL, he was okay. You cannot translate what he did in the EPL to La Liga and playing for a Real Madrid and having to sell a player like Mesut Ozil to fund that purchase.
Yeah.
How can you get rid of technical genius extraordinaire Mesut Ozil for this track star, pretty much? And I liken him to Aaron Lennon. I liken him to Theo Walcott.
Yeah.
Raheem Sterling to some extent. These guys are fast, lightning fast. Great. But when it comes to the technical aspect of the game, it just seems to get away from them all the time.
Yeah.
But if it's getting away from you all the time, maybe you're just not that good.
Maybe you are overrated.
Maybe you're overrated.
Yeah, I think it's. I think those are good points too. I think that it also, again, to agree as well, is that, you know, you're not playing, with all due respect to Tottenham Hotspur, you're not playing at White Hart Lane against West Ham.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is Real Madrid, and everything you do, under spotlight, you are playing in Champions League, not expected to qualify out of the preliminary round. You're expected to win or be in the final.
Oh, look, they're getting booed.
You know, after wins.
After wins, yeah, at home.
You know, and that's what I think is, you have to be, we build up these guys, right? We build them up so much. And I think that he's really feeling that in terms of that. And it just, he does not look comfortable in the color of Real Madrid. It just doesn't look like it's for him.
No.
You know? And I think that's, unfortunately, we build this up a lot. This happens a lot. But I think those are good comparisons.
I think Real Madrid just got caught up in the hottest English player at the time, or British player at the time, that we can sell his jersey to Britain and some people in Spain. And that's what we're going to do.
And that's why I don't blame them, because that's their MO, right, Reg? That's what they do. That's what they're going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to buy that player again.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Paul Pogba.
You know, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know what's hot? Well, what can sell? What could be part of the commercialization of it further? And that's what it is. You know, I mean, you could say maybe Suarez was that for Barcelona. I don't think so. I mean, in the sense that, well, maybe, mm-hmm. but he's performing. I think he's finally settling in.
Well. You know? I would take Suarez on my team any day. I don't care who. I don't care who he bites.
For me, it's a different class.
Put
yeah.
him on my team. I don't
yeah,
care.
Yeah, he's a different class.
So. But we're not going to just bang on the negative aspects of a dreary El Clasico.
Yeah.
We'll also hit some positive, some things that were positive. PK played amazing.
I think so.
Again.
I think so, Reg.
Again, he played amazing.
I don't think this guy gets, does he get the credit?
Oh, he does. It definitely doesn't. Even from me, because when I know
yeah.
he played in England for a little bit, and I was watching him, and he wasn't. I don't think he was up to the. If this is even a word, the physicality.
Yeah,
I hear it all the time. Yeah. I don't even know if it's a word, but he. I don't think he was up to the pace and the physicality of the EPL.
I think he's earned his. You're right, Reg. I think he's cut his teeth. Let's say.
Yeah.
You know, and like he, you know, maybe in the absence of Carlos Puyol, you know, he's had to really mature. Quickly,
yeah, to be that leader back there with Mascherano, right?
Yeah, and not only on the ball, we knew his qualities on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you're saying. It's just more of his, you know, his bark and his bite in a way that, listen, people might not realize, you know, playing center back isn't always the easiest thing. You're not protected by anybody,
definitely,
right? And you have to. There's so much to do with covering and communication, and you know. Essentially being, you know, a leader of and commanding your back line other than your keeper. So, you know, he's always been a good player.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I think he's really shining this year in terms of what he's doing. You know, and he plays sometimes with Mascherano. He plays with Jeremy Mathieu as well. So, you know,
yep.
bringing him up to speed as well has been good too. So, yeah, that's a bright spot for me. It was definitely him. And, of course, I mentioned a couple times, the absolutely deadly finish and lead up to it by Luis Suarez,
right.
who, if we talk about on the other side, Bale not being able to adapt to the quote-unquote brightest lights, I think we all not think, we know that maybe the best is yet to come with Luis Suarez.
Well, you know he's a predator.
Yeah. See
what I did there?
Kind of like that. Kind of almost brought Predator. A tear to my eye, and literally a tear to my eye, which proud and obviously anger. But you know,
the biting, yeah, and he's an Adidas. Adidas.
We're all about, you know, taking care of sponsorship. If you want to sponsor us,
Predator. I like that one. Yeah, and you speak about the communication between the defenders, and you can see even on Suarez's goal. The lack of communication between Ramos and Pepe, where
yeah.
Pepe kept him onside and Ramos was just like oblivious that one of the greatest strikers in the world is getting away from him.
That's what I was, yeah, and that was really shocking too. Like, and again, a lack of concentration could lead, especially in world-class games, could lead to the result changing, right?
Well,
just like
is.
That. And listen, Suarez is never afraid of the big moment.
Well, I don't think so at all.
He never has been, for wherever he's been, for club and country.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he doesn't have a lot of, you know, as much as he has lovers, he's got a lot of haters, but no one could ever, I would say, question his quality, his commitment, and of course, his performance in big games.
Never. Even World Cup.
Well, he was still, listen.
Even in World Cup.
He was still a fantastic player in that World Cup.
But. I don't know. I made a little bit of a joke in the beginning of the
he can lose his mind. We got it.
Where was Lionel Messi in the first half of this game?
Where's Messi? Donde está Messi? Have you spotted him yet?
He wasn't there.
And I said I say the first half in the game because the last 30 minutes of the game, he kind of took over and kind of played like the Messi we were expecting for 90. Kind of played like the way, you know, every time Ronaldo got the ball, you were thinking, oh shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that the type of game, if you're going to neutralize Messi, that's a fantastic way to do it. you know, that type of game. Not that it was a game plan, but just the mood of the game, mm-hmm. as it being chippy and rough and a lot of stoppages, not a lot of flow to it.
Right.
That's obviously going to hinder a player like that, you know. Whereas you see the game he played against Man City, where it was the absolute opposite, where he was just, you know, but he was allowed to just walk about and stroll and do those little things.
Against Man City, you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas against Real Madrid, the flow of that game or lack of that, but it's on him as a great player to the way to impact the game.
Right.
I mean, again, though, his team does win 2-1.
Right.
But yeah, I agree. In the biggest game, on the biggest stage, club-wise, domestic-wise, he was a little non-existent, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And you bring up the point where Lionel Messi against Manchester City was allowed to do whatever he wanted. There was times in that game where he would get the ball and he would be literally walking with the ball.
Right.
He'd be walking with the ball for like 15 seconds, just walking, strolling around. And then you can't give this guy 10 seconds, as you can see with the goal that he gave past the Radetic for the opener against,
Man City. Yeah.
Man City. Yeah. I mean, he was running full speed, stopped on a dime, looked up, played that ball. And you're giving this guy all this time. He was, I swear, go back and YouTube it and why he was walking with the ball.
And like it almost looked a disinterest from the Man City players. Whereas, you know what I mean?
Or you don't want to get close enough to get magged.
Yeah, like James Milner. But, you know, that's what I think. I just think the game was not conducive for him. But again, doesn't matter. It's not an excuse. He didn't have his best day. But there's no other excuse to make for him. He did not have his best day. I would say that, you know, the good thing for him is he still has a lot of time to still, cement his legacy. You know, I think what it is, when players are so great, we want them to do even more. We want them to show us how much further they can take themselves. And for Messi, that's what we look for. And we wanted to have him do those things against the bigger, better teams.
Don't get me wrong though, Messi's the greatest player on the face of the earth. I'm making jokes over here, but don't get me wrong, I rate him highly.
Yeah,
one of the best. One
to me, he's the best.
The best, we'll say the best.
But if you argue someone else, it's not like it's a crazy point.
Yeah, it's not a slam dunk.
Bro. That's right. No, but he's, and we want to see him at his best at the biggest time, right? The old primetime players make.
Yeah, exactly.
Primetime plays, or they show up at primetime games. Like that's what it is, right? I mean, that's what we want to see from our heroes.
Cometh the hour, cometh the man,
that's
right?
It. The English got that right for
sure.
You know, we want to see that. We want to see Messi do that. Whether obviously if you're a Madridista or a Barcelona fan, maybe different. But if you are a neutral, you want to see, you know, Ronaldo at his best, Messi at his best, and let's have at it. Let's see.
100%. 100%. So, I think you mentioned the score in the game. Barcelona won this game 2-1 at the Nou Camp. And to end off this El Clasico, I don't know if it's a recap. I'm not going to go through all the goals and the plays and everything. Actually, I want to make 2 points. Sorry. For all of you soccer guys out there that understand the sport and know that if you don't take your chances, 9 times out of 10, other teams are going to come back and score.
Yes, sir.
And it happened twice in that game. Ronaldo hit the bar.
Yep.
It was like point blank, I think. Mm-hmm. Hit the bar.
Pretty much.
Came down. Barcelona came down and scored their goal. Neymar had a ball inside the 6-yard box. Couldn't control it. Bobbled up, hit him in the knee. Went down. Goalie caught it. I swear to God, 20 seconds later, Ronaldo scored. Yeah. So it's that, like, that's a good lesson for young kids out there. You got to take your chances.
Yeah, and I'll say next one.
If you don't,
you'll be punished.
You'll be punished. You'll be digging the ball out of the back of your net, and it'll be, oh my God, if we had scored, we had. It's not about if.
Yeah, those ifs can pile up, but they can haunt you, right?
As an Arsenal fan, I know if. It doesn't work out.
That's a good point too, and especially with the quality up and down the field with these teams. You know, at any given moment, they could just turn the game. Usually, we talk about one or two players. Right. Between those two teams, we got like six or seven that could turn the game on its behind. So, yeah, I mean, you got to take your chances. I think this was just the case. Barcelona took the one more chance.
That's it. Well, it was spectacular. That Suarez goal, I still can't get over it. But,
you know, again, in an awful game, he still showed up in the key moment.
Right. So. Right. And the last point I want to make about this
classical that wasn't so classical.
Yeah, the L, not classical. Barcelona let Xavi run out for the last, I think, 13 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Classy move. It's probably going to be his last El Clasico.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going back to Barcelona. He might be on his way to
New York City.
Dare I say the MLS?
Could it be with David Villa? I don't know.
Dare I say? I think you're spot on. So that was a nice touch by Luis Enrique to get him into the game and have him play his last Clásico, El Clásico, with his buddy.
Does Luis Enrique need to make sure that he could pump up his PR moves because he's not the most favorite? But yeah, for sure.
Last game with Iniesta, those two together in the midfield. I think actually Iniesta came off for him, but end the game.
Yeah.
Together would have probably been the only thing that would have made that move a little bit nicer. So, anyway,
yeah, it was a great move. You're right, Reggie.
It was. I like seeing stuff like that.
For
you
sure.
Know what I mean, but
the appreciation of what has come before and
let him get his last clap and
for sure
in an El Clasico. But for sure. So,
I'm gonna say something. Our top five. Just thinking back at this. If you guys have anything you want to add to it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We want to hear about it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Right? But listen, let's not, we talked about Clásico, and let's not forget that there's other big games that we'll be reviewing too that we hope that you guys watch and we talk about and talking points and so on. We got a lot of football coming up, important games domestically.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Manchester United Liverpool and Steven Gerrard's 45-minute red card. 45 second red card.
Yeah, so maybe you guys we'll touch upon that next time. Let us know about that, what you think. Sure. I don't know.
Yeah, we can't hit everything, and the show last week went longer than I thought it was. So some of the stuff that we were scheduled to talk about last week, we didn't get to. So we had to hit it this week. So, I mean, unless we take like a 2-hour show, we can't catch up. But we'll try to do our best to get the talking points for the week on the next show. And
it's heating up. The seasons, the teams, the leagues, it's money time, if you will.
Yep,
right?
That's it, man.
It should only be getting more interesting.
That's it. You're going to see plot line after plot line. Who's gonna survive the relegation zone? Who's going to get sacked? What players are going where now that summer transfer is almost upon us? And we spoke with Edson last week, and we said we're going to have like a recap show, and we'll do like a transfer recap show as well. We'll also do an Arsenal recap show. And we also said we were going to talk about TFC this week, and we didn't even come close.
We didn't even touch upon that. We will.
We will. Definitely.
They do play this week again, so yeah. We will definitely touch upon TFC. And hopefully, hey, never know, some interesting guests coming up too.
Yeah, for sure. We're trying our best to line up some stuff for you guys, so stay tuned, definitely. With that being said, you can get to us on the website, footballweekly.com, FUTBOLweekly.com, Twitter, @ReginaldDino_5, and Joe, yours is?
Joe Cola 4,
the number 4, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We also have a forum, and we always discuss and tell you that if you have anything to say to us, you can. You can tweet us, or you can go onto the forum and get to us that way. You can get to us on iTunes, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. Number of different ways you can get to us, most definitely. So there's no excuse for you guys not to be listening to this. So
keep football in your life.
Exactly. So that being said, Joe, for the first time being in the studio, what do you think?
I'm loving this. I like this. I don't know. I'm feeling completely comfortable here.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, so
I'm bringing you gold together. So, okay.
Hopefully we can have you in a studio forever. I think it sounds better and it flows a little better when you're here. But
we want to serve you best.
Yeah, right. For sure. So that being said, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.